Today is May the 7th, 2004. I am Ruth Callaghan, and I'm interviewing Susan Murray, who was a Peace Corps volunteer in Estonia and worked as an NGO from June 1999 to November 2000. So, Sue, what currently are you doing with your life now that you're back from the Peace Corps?
Since I've returned from the Peace Corps, I've been in the process of healing from some of the injuries I received during my service. So my life consists mostly of just taking it easy right now and trying to heal the best I can. And also, I do a lot of studying and reading, nothing formal yet, but there may be a possibility that in the near future I will return to college to get another master's degree. But that's being decided now. So right now I just am still involved in the community projects, but mostly I'm just taking it easy and healing.
Right. Well, what was it that made you decide to join the Peace Corps?
Peace Corps service, it was a desire of mine for many, many years. About, I'd say maybe 20 years, 25 years ago, I applied, but life events took precedence, so I had to cancel my application. And about 5 years ago now, I decided to apply once again, because it was a good time in my life to do that. I had just completed a master's degree, and I had worked about a year in the social service arena. And during that time, I thought, I'd really like to pursue an international experience again. So I started the application process, and it took about a year before I was approved. But it all came together, and in June of 1999, off I went to Estonia.
So, when you did apply, what was the application process like? I mean, did you have a specific place you wanted to go, and did it take a long time, or?
Yes, it did take quite a while. As I mentioned before, it took at least a year to complete all the paperwork and to be given final approval. And on the bottom of the application, the question was, where would you like to go? And I indicated a warm country. And they did, the Peace Corps did offer me Haiti, but I decided to decline that invitation due to all the political upheaval in Haiti. And my next offer was Estonia. And I decided I better take that, or they may not offer me a third option. And the Peace Corps indicated that with my skills and background that I would probably fit into the NGO category, since I had done some type of that work before, advising nonprofit organizations. And so that's how it all came together.
Oh, great. What were your reactions of your friends and your family when they heard that you were on your way to Estonia?
My friends and family were not too surprised. Maybe that the apropos phrase here is surprised but not stunned. They had known all along that I had an interest in this type of service and volunteer service of some kinds, especially in the international sector. My family, I have three children, and they just kind of shook their heads and said, oh well, Mom's doing this again. My friends were very supportive, although a few of them said, oh my goodness, why would you want to go into the Peace Corps with the political situation being the way it is in the world now? But they came around at the end, and they were all very supportive, and they gave me a big farewell party, and so it was great. And a few of my friends wrote recommendations for me on for my application process. So overall, it was a very supportive experience for me.
All right. And how about when you finally arrived at your destination, what was the Peace Corps training like when you got started, and did you have to learn a new language, and how did that work?
The training actually started when we went to staging in Chicago, and it was pretty intense there, I believe for about 3 days, and all the Peace Corps trainees who were going to the Baltic countries were together, and we were given an overview of what our service would be like, and we got to know each other, and it was really interesting because there was people from all different age categories, some very young, right out of college, or like myself, the older person. I was 62 years old at the time. So it was an interesting experience and gave us an idea of what it would be like to actually work with the other Peace Corps trainees and eventual volunteers in the country. The day that we left Chicago, I called my family and said, oh, goodbye, thinking, you know, I may not see these people ever again. So it was very emotional. And then on the flight, we went to Riga, Latvia at first, that's where we landed, then we all spread out to our other countries. But on the flight, I just looked at all these young people and thought, oh my goodness, how will I ever have anything in common with them? But, you know, Peace Corps experience is a great equalizer. You're really all in this experience together. But anyway, we landed in Riga, Latvia, and then from there we went to a hotel located there near a beach, in a beach area, and we're given the preliminary facts and some of the information that we needed. But it was really interesting because it just gave us a flavor of what our service was going to be like. And then after that experience, they put us on a bus to our individual countries. And some of the friends that I had made in Riga, some of the older women that I had made contact with and had a lot in common with, they all went to either Lithuania or Latvia. Here I was in Estonia with, I believe there was about, oh gosh, maybe 25, 30 volunteers for Estonia. And they were all very young, except an older gentleman who was also from Portland, Oregon, where I am from. So here was just he and I and all these young kids. And I felt a little disconcerted because I really wanted to have some of the women friends that I met during pre-service training with me. But anyway, it was okay. And we were driven to Tartu, Estonia, which is where the training site was located. The training site itself was in a very rundown school building, which was still being used for classes each day, but it was pretty deplorable. There were broken windows and the bathrooms were pretty dreary and somewhat dirty. And although the food was really good, they fed us probably 4 or 5 times a day, certainly more than I needed. But overall, it was a very challenging experience, especially the language training. Estonian verbs each have about 13 different case endings. So, you know, I never did become proficient in Estonian. It was very challenging, very difficult, especially for someone my age trying to learn a new language. Whereas some of the younger trainees just picked it up immediately, and I just thought, oh my goodness, I really felt a little bit inferior at that point. But the training itself was, even though it was very, very challenging, it was 5.5 days a week, early in the morning until late afternoon, sometimes in the evening. Our teachers were wonderful. I really appreciated all their efforts, and they were very patient. And the cultural training was probably the part of the training that I appreciated the most. The local Estonian teachers told us what to expect and how to behave in their society, what the holidays were like, and the food, and the general decorum that we should practice while we were in country. So overall, I'd say it was very, very good, even though some of the younger people, trainees, complained about it. But I thought, you know, maybe it's because they just didn't have the perspective of life experiences like I had. So I just kind of went with the flow, even though it was very tiring and extremely challenging. And at the time of the training, during the time of the training, I was living with a local host family. And that was a little challenging also. They're a very nice older couple, but they kind of babied me. they didn't let me out of their sight very often. And I thought, here I am, 62 years old, and you know, I can really cope by myself. But anyway, it was done in a very loving manner. But I was happy at the end of the training to be able to move out into my own apartment. That was a big, big thing, and to have my privacy and just live my life like an everyday 8-to-5 job situation. But getting back to the training, gosh, we would have to do things like go out into the woods and do some wilderness training, and also some, of course, the language training. The language teachers would take us into the town of Tartu and just kind of turn us loose and see how we would cope in the various department stores and grocery stores, etc. So that was really challenging. But it was nice to have that support from the faculty. And it was a big thrill when the day that I was approved to become a full-fledged volunteer rather than just a trainee, and to get that paper in my hand, signed by the faculty saying that, yes, I had made it through the training and was ready to go on to the next phase of my Peace Corps adventures.
All right. Well, how about when you finally got to your assignment, what was that like? And could you describe, you know, what you were doing in the country and also what a typical day was for you?
I was assigned to a nonprofit organization in Tartu, which is where the training site was. So that I felt wonderful about that because I didn't have to relearn the city or a town. My organization was a ecological organization, and it's kind of strange in some respects that the director of the organization was a former Peace Corps volunteer. He was with the first group of volunteers to Estonia. And I would get up about, oh, maybe 7:30, and I would look out the window and see what the local people were wearing in terms of deciding what I wanted to wear that day. Then I would climb on the bus and go to my site. And it was this ecological organization, it was called Estonian Fund for Nature. And it was located in a tall Russian-style building. And again, it was pretty decrepit according to our standards, but it was probably very nice according to Estonian standards. But no elevators, of course, I had to walk up 4 or 5 flights of stairs to work. Then I did have an office with an old computer that I shared with the other employees. And I was fortunate in that most of the people in my office spoke English. And I really think they felt a little bit sorry for me. Here I was struggling through Estonian language, so most of the time they spoke English, except that during the times that they had office meetings, and then that was all conducted in Estonian. And I felt really left out during those times, even though they were patient and would occasionally explain to me what was happening, what they were talking about. But I wish I would have been more proficient in the Estonian language so I could have really grasped what was happening in the office. And oftentimes during my stay at that particular site, I thought, gosh, you know, I think they really need me here. I was kind of at a loss. I thought, what am I doing here? How can I contribute? So that was kind of a challenge. I didn't know really what direction to take with them. And the director, as I mentioned before, was so proficient that I didn't think that my training and talent, so to speak, were being utilized fully in that place. But it was a great experience because we did a lot of outdoor trekking and adventure type of, even the business meetings sometimes were conducted out in the woods. And in Estonia, the woods are so pristine that it was just like going back maybe 50 or 100 years here in the U.S. The woods, the nature, the forests, etc., were untrampled, so to speak. So that was a great experience. I learned a lot about the trees and the flora, the fauna, and some of the animals, etc., of Estonia. So that was really great. And then about maybe 7 or 8 months after I had arrived and started working at my site, Estonia One for Nature, a woman approached me and asked me, I don't know how she had heard about me, but anyway, word travels quickly in some of these situations. But anyway, she approached me and asked me if I would be willing to kind of be a secondhand advisor to her fledgling organization. She started this nonprofit organization to assist children who were at risk, mostly street kids from Russian families, often from alcoholic backgrounds. And so I started working with her, and they were in desperate straits. It was the total opposite of the situation with my first NGO, the Estonian Fund for Nature. And the second organization I worked with was called, in Estonian, it's called Ukul, and that means owl. So they did a lot of their work at night and helped the kids that were out in the streets at night. And they were so wonderful and so welcoming to me, and I really felt needed there. And I had, after I had completed work each day with the Estonian Fund for Nature, I would go to this other organization and spend a few hours with them. They were so wonderful, and the children, actually they were older than just children, they were more like teens and younger people. They were just so nice to me, and they were so interested, and I felt that this organization was so worthwhile, and they really needed my input and expertise, and they were so grateful to have what I could contribute to them.
Cool. How about your leisure time? And were you able to take time away from before and take a vacation, or what was?
There was quite a lot of leisure time. As I mentioned before, this Estonian Fund for Nature, I didn't think really needed my talents all that much. So I would leave the office probably about 4 in the afternoon, especially in the wintertime when it got so dark. And actually, it never really got very light in the wintertime. And our Peace Corps medical personnel didn't want us, especially women, being out too late at night because there was a lot of alcohol. In the country, and the alcohol was drank on the buses, etc., the city buses. So I would leave my site about 4 o'clock and come home, and in the wintertime it was very challenging because I lived in one of these typical Russian apartment buildings, and my apartment was very, very big. It had a lot of room, and of course it was very old. But at that time, I didn't have a TV or a radio that had English-speaking programs. So I would come home, and it would be very dark and dreary, and I'd prepare my dinner, and then I'd think, what am I going to do for the next 6 or 7 hours before it's bedtime? So I really had to tap into my self-reliance, and I'd be very creative with my time. And I brought along one of those little plastic child's recorders, so I taught myself to play the recorder, and so I sit there sometimes and toot my flute and just busy myself. And I would fortunately brought along a lot of English language books, so I would read a lot too, and my friends would send me English newspapers, etc. But as far as, so in that regard, I did have quite a lot of leisure time, especially after I came home from work. But on other occasions, I would get together with some of the other Peace Corps volunteers, and we would travel to Lithuania or Latvia, and sometimes a couple times we went to Helsinki, Finland. And there was also opportunities to visit other volunteers at their sites and villages, so that it was really fun. So I guess I can say that I was as busy as I wanted to be, even though oftentimes I did feel a bit isolated because of the language barrier, and also because the Estonian people, I found, were not very receptive. They were kind of closed down until you got to know them, and then they were very warm and open, but it's just that they did have a veneer about them that was pretty challenging to try to crack, so to speak. And so I spent a lot of very lonely times too, thinking, gosh, I'm really alone here and I'm isolated and I can't really visit with the local people. They were so suspicious in many instances. And the person I rented the apartment from, it was a couple. They turned out to be dear people, very, very friendly, but she was a little standoffish at first, wondering why I would leave the United States with all its comforts and luxuries to come to Estonia. So I always had that kind of a barrier to overcome. And I was also asked to speak at two or three women's gatherings. One was a Sorokinist group in Tartu, and another one was a woman's, I think it was a book club or something like that in Tallinn. And most of those women spoke English, so that was fun. I just, they wanted to know about my life in the United States, my background experiences, and what I was doing in Estonia. So that was really fun to be able to share my experiences with them, and also to reciprocate, have them tell me about their experiences. So it did keep me pretty busy, as I said. In the wintertime, it was the most challenging, though, because of all the darkness and the terrible cold weather and the ice and all that. Situations that I didn't feel comfortable going out too often. And when I did go out, many of the local residents thought I was an Estonian because I have blonde hair, blue eyes, and they would approach me on the street and start speaking Estonian to me, and I'd have to say, I don't know what you're talking about. And as I mentioned before, the Estonian people are not real friendly at first. So as you walk down the street, I was used to saying hi to people, at least smiling and making eye contact, but there was none of that, very little of that. But you just cope with it and go on and just try to fit into their culture and society.
Oh, okay. So as your tour ended, how did you feel as a sense of, did you have a sense of accomplishment, and did you have any regrets about what had occurred during your Peace Corps training, or not training, but your Peace Corps experience?
My Peace Corps service came to an aborted ending, unfortunately. During the time of the Peace Corps training, I was I remember one time in particular, we were out in the forest, in the woods, clearing brush and trails, etc. And while I didn't actually chop down trees, I picked up branches, and big branches, and tossed them onto a fire area. And I didn't think too much about it at the time, but later on, my shoulder and my back started to become painful. And also the bed I was sleeping on in my apartment wasn't really a bed. It was like a very small couch that was extremely uncomfortable. And I mentioned this to the Peace Corps medical person. And she said, well, you know, we'll get you another bed, which I did. And that was an interesting situation, too, to try to purchase a bed from an Estonian businessman. I couldn't speak Estonian. They couldn't speak English. But anyway, I made it through that. And got the new bed, and things were okay for a while. And then I came home because my father had passed, was in the process of passing away, and that was in March of 2000. And I noticed then that my shoulder and my back were hurting even more, and that in Estonia itself, I had to carry a lot of heavy backpacks and do a lot of walking with hiking with big backpacks on my back, and it took its toll over time, and the Peace Corps medical people were very good to me. They had me do a CAT scan to make sure that there was nothing neurologically awry, and they sent me to Helsinki to an orthopedist specialist, and they also had me do some Estonian, what they termed physical therapy, which is nothing like our physical therapy. And so I went through that process for about probably 6 months or a little longer, but I was not getting any better. And it just got continually worse, and I would try to go to work, and I would have to sit in a special chair, and then I wasn't able to do the activities in the outdoor like I really wanted to. And during my second summer there, I was chosen to help with the Group 9, the next group of Peace Corps trainees, to help design curriculum for them and to teach them. And I noticed during that time that it was difficult for me to write on the blackboard and the chalkboard and to hold my arm up very high. And so it just was cumulative. I think my injuries were caused by overactive, too much lifting and carrying and hiking, etc. So it took its toll. The Peace Corps medical personnel did as much as they could, but it was decided that I wasn't getting any better and that I should return to the United States for medical treatment.
Okay, so that ended, or that was the ending of your poor experience at that time. And in light of the three goals of the Peace Corps, could you evaluate your service? And the first goal is to provide technical assistance where requested. Were you able to do that?
I believe so. I did that, and especially with that second organization that I mentioned, the UKU organization. They were in such dire straits that anything that I could give them, provide for them, they really utilized and put to good use. And that was one of my major regrets, because I had to leave the country early. I thought I could probably have been of service to that organization. So yeah, that was hard for me to leave. And prior to my leaving, six of my friends from the United States came to visit me, and we had this wonderful time in the Estonian nature. And people from the Estonian Nature Fund took us around to areas that the average tourist would never have access to. So that was just a really, really wonderful experience, although I couldn't participate fully because of my back and shoulder injuries and neck injuries. So, yes, I think that I contributed at least somewhat to the UKU, and perhaps also to my assigned site, which was the Estonian Fund for Nature. Because I did do some, I helped, at the Estonian Fund for Nature, I helped to organize the eco trips. And because I had a background in travel, and so I think that they was able to give them some information and some tips about how to get these fun nature hikes tours started, and how to do some of the marketing, etc. And I also was able to, at my primary site, they asked me if I would be part of the hiring process for the director of the Eco Tours. So I did that and interviewed and spent a day apiece with two potential employees, and that was really fun. We went out into the woods again, and it was just a really nurturing experience for me, and I felt that we made the correct decision. Ultimately, they hired a young man, and he and I became very close, and he always was appreciative of me because he felt that I had helped make the difference between being hired and not being hired at the Estonian Fund for Nature.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that you promoted better understanding of Americans by the Estonian people?
That's a definite yes. Starting with my host family that I lived with for 3 months, it was a little awkward at first, getting used to each other. And my host mother, who was as I mentioned before, I think that she was older, maybe in the 70s or so. But they were just astounded that I would want to take a shower every day, and that I would want to do my laundry maybe two times a week or so. And then come to find out that the water in East Tartu was very expensive, so I curtailed my laundry to once a week, and then took the wet clothes to the top of the roof of their apartment building and hung them up since they didn't have a dryer. But yeah, and I appreciated their cultural ways. You know, the food situation was a little bit challenging. The Estonians eat a lot of fat and cover everything with sour cream, and they eat a lot of meat products and dairy products, which I don't normally eat. So my host mother was very interested in speaking or learning more about the English language, so I would come home from the training site of school, and we would help each other. She'd help me with Estonian, and I would help her with her English, so that was really fun. And I shared as much as I could with them, because of the language barriers, about my life in the U.S., and we had grandchildren in common, so that was a good conversation area.
So in light of the other goal of the Peace Corps, did your Peace Corps experience help promote better understanding of the Estonian people by Americans?
That's a definite yes. Prior to my Peace Corps experience in Estonia, I had no clue about Estonia. I knew that they had been formerly part of the Soviet Empire, but I had barely an idea where Estonia was located. So I really feel that I have a better grasp on the Estonian culture and the people and their behavior, and that I have brought that information home and shared it with my family members and friends. So I feel that because of that, my Peace Corps experience, I have a better appreciation of what the Estonian people went through during the Soviet occupation. And there is quite a large Estonian community here in Portland, and I have been wanting to make contact with them, and will hope to do that in the near future, so that I can continue my cross-cultural experiences with them. Then also, once a year, it's called the Starlight Parade here in Portland, in conjunction with our famous Rose Festival parade, there's a contingency of former Peace Corps volunteers who march in the parade and dress in the costumes or clothing of their host country. And I hope to be able to participate in that event either this year or next year. And that's just part of bringing the Estonian experience home and sharing the American experience with the Estonians.
Oh, very good. And since you have returned, have you continued to have any kind of contact or involvement with your country of service?
About once or twice a year, I receive an email from the person who was the office manager at the Peace Corps headquarters in Tallinn. Then also I maintain contact with one of the former language teachers, and it's great to hear from them. And I also have contact occasionally with one of the my fellow Peace Corps volunteers that were in Estonia. But I have lost the address and phone number and contact information for my host family, and I feel very sad about that because I'd like to check up on them, see how they're doing. So, and then eventually I'd like to return to Estonia, because I had to leave so abruptly, that I'd like to go back and do some closing there and revisit the site and perhaps my host family and other areas of interest.
Do you still have any involvement with the returning Peace Corps volunteers now? It sounds like you have.
Yes, I'm a member of the Columbia River Return Peace Corps Volunteers Association, and I also do the interviewing like this one that I'm participating in now for the John F. Kennedy Library Archives. And I've participated in some of the get-togethers of the former Peace Corps volunteers here in the local area. And I attended the National Conference of Returned Peace Corps Volunteers that was held in Portland last year.
And what would you just say is the overall impact that the Peace Corps service had on your life, and what changes do you think it has made it for you personally?
Because I was involved in the travel business for a number of years, I had the opportunity to travel to many and various foreign countries. But living in a foreign country is totally different than just visiting. I considered my time in Estonia, even though it's very challenging at times, to be life-changing in that I have a deeper appreciation of foreign cultures, more patience, and more incentives to do research about foreign cultures, and also to be more welcoming to foreign individuals that I meet. And of course, physically, my Peace Corps experience has made a tremendous impact on my physical health, and I'm still coping with some of those injuries. So in that regard, it's been really life-changing. But if I had to rate my Peace Corps experience on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it an 8. And I'd love to be able to heal enough where I can reapply and be accepted, perhaps this time to a warmer climate.
Well, thank you. Your interview has been very, very interesting.